You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the sixth Sunday of Easter, May 1st, 2016, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it has occurred, so when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. This is a hard promise for Jesus to make, knowing full well the violence and losses that he and ultimately his best friends would soon be facing. I find great comfort in knowing about Jesus' humanity, that he understands how we as parents and grandparents, teachers, counselors, concerned adults, feel when we allow our children to venture forth, growing inch by inch, exploring a world, our world, full of love, beauty, risk, and violence. I've not yet found a way to deliver Jesus' message of peace to our daughter, who is a student teacher in an inner city elementary school in Spokane. Just the other day, her school was put into lockdown mode when an armed 13-year-old teen who ventured onto their campus with a loaded gun was apprehended by peace. Apprehended by peace. I'm going to stay with that one. By police. The real story and the hero therein is, I'm going to say, an angel. We've heard the reading from the book of Revelation, the angel that helps John see the new vision of a new way of living, the city of God, the revelation of a new Jerusalem. Administrator in the school came out and firmly, courageously, and compassionately encountered the teen in such a way that the teen threw his gun into the loaded gun into a dumpster, and tragedy was prevented. Yes, we need peace. Jesus knew that when he walked around the world in which he lived, many places he wasn't supposed to go, and he went anyway. He saw the injustices that surrounded him. He knew that his type of peace was different than the peace that was called Pax Romana, or the so-called Roman peace. This is not what Jesus meant at all when he talked about peace. Caesar Augustus and the ruling class of Rome regarded peace not as an absence of war and violence, but the rare condition that existed when all opponents had been thoroughly beaten down and had lost their ability to resist. We still need peace 2,000 years later, and Jesus' promise of a different kind of peace couldn't be more relevant. Amidst the returning war veterans, the domestic violence, contentious divorces, random shootings, bullying at schools and workplaces, and yes, even movies, sports, and video games that glorify violence, we are tempted to dismiss Jesus' promise of peace as being too idealistic, too otherworldly to be of practical value. And yet, in today's gospel lesson, you see the full presence of God's true peacekeeping forces, fully deployed through the Blessed Trinity in action. The Father Creator, the Son, the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, working together in harmony to bring about a perfect peace. They are, after all, the original peacemakers, and they want us to do the same by making their home with us. Now, I don't know about some of you, but when you hear about God coming, the Trinity coming to your home, you might think you have to clean up the house. But actually, all that's required is to open the door. You don't have to have the house cleaned up, thanks be to God. God tells us that He desires to make His home within us, and is the surest way that we can find the peace that surpasses all human understanding. This promise is deep in our salvation story. It began with the Israelites. Before they had a temple in Jerusalem, they had a temple that they had to carry in the form of the Ark of the Covenant. They were a nomadic people. The Ark was not a secret military weapon. It was a sacred chest built according to the exact specifications of God. It included first and foremost the Ten Commandments delivered to them by Moses and a pledge by God that He would dwell with them forever and give them the strength to be His people. The tent that contained this ark was known as the tabernacle, and this is a tradition that we continue as Christians. Near the sacristy door, directly behind, or to my left actually, there's a tour after the service. I don't know, care if they end up in the, you know, that's kind of a hidden box. But in that box is the reserved sacrament of blessed bread and wine, the body of our Lord and Savior. It is to remind us that no matter what happens, if we're living in trailers or we're living in big houses, no matter what, we have a place that reminds us that God's love and His life and His peace live within our heart. He desires to tabernacle with us. Now, opening our hearts through prayer, nourishing our souls with God's word, renouncing the temptation to do violence to others or ourselves, this is the first step to becoming God's peacemaker. The second step to becoming God's peacekeeper and maker, once you invite God in, and that's, of course, a big first step, is to allow God to propel you, to live a spirit-propelled life. We are not here to be propelled into building another version of Pax Romana. We are here to build Pax Christo, the new heaven, the new earth that God has promised us. God offers us a different kind of peace than the world knows. Jesus does not ask us to draw a dividing line in the sand, to identify opposing armies. Rather, Jesus draws a large circle in the sand to bring all of us together in the sense of unity. The New Testament is clear on this point. Jesus has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility that is between us, and that there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ. But how does this happen? Jesus and the Father have sent us a gift, and we know the gift by many different names, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, and I'm sure we could all add our own version. And in just 2 weeks in Pentecost, we will celebrate this grand Trinity in a big way. Have you ever noticed that no matter what the liturgical season happens to be, that the Holy Spirit can't keep quiet? Is active within our hearts, sometimes counseling us, sometimes nagging us, guiding us, sometimes cajoling us into doing that right thing, the holy thing, the nonviolent thing, which is to bring down all that divides us. And it's all about the communion that we seek. In today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we learn about how a once violent male, a Pharisee, had turned into a Christian apostle dedicated to the Word of God. He is guided by the Holy Spirit over great waters and land, across all sorts of gender and ethnic lines, to meet with Lydia, a Gentile businesswoman, a very likely widow. It could have been disastrous. They wouldn't necessarily have been a good match on the Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram or any of that. A proud, successful man could have created a power struggle. Even the name of the Lord. Who's the greatest missionary? Who's the greatest offer of hospitality? And he encounters an equally strong and independent woman. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, I believe, protected them from harm. Not only harm from the outside, but the harm from the inside of their relationship. And these doors were opened, not only into Lydia's home, but into her heart and Paul's as well. So wide was that gate opened that the Holy Spirit had free access. Wouldn't you like to know the exact words that opened those channels up, those channels of love between this unlikely brother and sister in Christ? Now, at St. Thomas, we don't pretend to have all the answers, but a shameless promotion for our new series, Languages of Love, I invite all of you to consider coming. There will be tracks for each one of us, for us that want to work on our relationships with our spouse. That's a track. There's a track for being able to communicate a language of love to our children, maybe our parents, who even if we're 50 years old, we can never not benefit from communicating better with our own parents. And then also friendships, workplaces. How do we authentically set our boundaries and express openness to those who are different and actually need to hear our love? It's one thing to say we're going to love. It's nothing to not express our love. We will learn about those keys in the class, and I'm hoping we learn about them every time we worship together. When we give the peace, it's not just an empty ritual. I hope that's not what it's become for you. But it's an actual willingness to open your heart to receive the communion that is to follow. And even if it's just for a few minutes that you feel in communion with someone who's really stressing you out, cherish those few minutes in communion. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.